Thank you, brother. We want to open our Bibles tonight in the book of Luke's Gospel in the chapter 15. Charles Dickens said that this is the finest short story ever written. No one ever spoke like Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, in this 15th chapter, he's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes because they're murmuring that Christ Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Lord Jesus exposed their hypocrisy and reminded, indeed, that's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord Jesus gives us three illustrations of lost things. First of all, the lost sheep, and then the lost silver, and then finally the lost son. I want us to start reading at verse number 11. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and thou never givest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray together, please. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy leading and thy guiding in this meeting. We thank thee for the ministry of song. We thank thee, O God, our Heavenly Father, for our brother leading the meeting. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will bless the reading of thy word. Now we come to the application of it. We pray that thou wilt help me. O God, tonight I realize that vain is the help of man, but I thank thee for the promised Holy Ghost and that blessed power of Pentecost. Oh God, take me tonight and use me, that only Jesus Christ will be uplifted and glorified. We would cry out like those of old, we would see Jesus. And oh God, I pray that thou will speak to hearts in this meeting, young people and older people, and that this night there might be a drawing unto thyself. And to this end, oh God, I just by faith take that promised Holy Ghost. And Lord, fill me to the uttermost. I take, Lord, please, undertake for me. Cover me in the blood. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and power. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I suppose this passage of God's Word is the most familiar passage that of any of the parables that the Lord Jesus Christ spake in his ministry. As I said, he was challenging the Pharisees and the scribes as they murmured against the Savior receiving publicans and sinners. We call this story the prodigal son. The word prodigal means wasteful. And yet it's not the only part of the story. We could spend much time in the story because in actual fact there are three people in the story. We find that there's a father there. It says there in that verse there, verse number 11, Jesus Christ is a certain man. And so here we see a father in this story. Now, there's no mention of a mother. There's no reason why that we can say, but I believe that when mother's not mentioned here, mother probably had died. Maybe it was in childbirth. But mother's not in this story, but what I know is there's a father here. And God has blessed this father with two sons, two boys. You know, it's not easy to rear children in these days. It certainly wouldn't be easy for a father to raise the children without a mother, because there's a special place in the home. I've often thought of that little song, A Mother's Love's a Blessing. No matter where you roam, keep her when she's living, for you'll miss her when she's gone. Love her as in childhood, even though she's old and gray. For you'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay. And here we find that mother's not here, but father's here. And father's going to bring up these boys in his own. And listen, he's a loving father. We see that as the story continues. He's a father that has done his best for his boys. He has given his boys everything he could give that a father could give. And all the love that he could give as a father, he bestowed it upon his sons. He had two boys. Now, friend, whilst we see the relationship of the father with the sons, there's a sad relationship between the sons. I don't know how it started, but listen, there was a difference between the boys. We notice whenever the one son came home, the prodigal from the far country, in actual fact, his brother wasn't glad at all. He was sad. He was angry. He was bitter. Maybe he felt that his brother had left him to do all the work, and now he's home, and father's setting his love back on him. Is he jealous? Is that what it is? But I see the relationship certainly has broken down. But I want us to look at the younger of those two boys, because that's what the Lord Jesus is first of all drawing our attention to. I want us to look, my friend, in this context of lost things. Now, we could look at this story and we could apply it to a backslider, because we could aptly say here was a son that once was at the father's table and then he leaves the father's table and then he comes home. But the context of this story, my friend, is lost things. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. So therefore it's the salvation of the lost. And so the Lord Jesus tells it in the context of a boy that was lost. Now we find here it tells us in verse number 12, it says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Here we see the boy's demands. One day a young lad that had been brought up in this good home, and father's given him everything he possibly could give. And one day the boy came and looked into the face of his father. He lifted his fingers to his dad's, under his father's face, and he says, Father, I want you to give me. My friend, it wasn't a request, it was a demand. Here was a boy that was demanding. Up to that moment, he has enjoyed all the blessings and all the benefits of that home. Father has given him again and again and again and again. But something in this boy that day was rising up within him of discontent and rebellion in his heart. And you see, when that happens in a boy or a girl, let me tell you, there's nothing a father can give will satisfy them whenever they're rebellious. You see, why did this boy make this request? Well, I believe there were three things that he was really demanding. First of all, he was demanding his freedom. He wanted to be free from his father's restrictions. He wanted to be free from his father's constraints. He wanted to be free from his father's restraints or his father's rules or his father's discipline. He's tired of all these things. You see, he's a big boy now. He wants to be his own man. He wants to live a life where he could do his own thing. He wanted to get up when he wanted. He wanted to go where he wanted. He wanted to come home when he wanted. He wanted to associate with whom he wanted. It was all about him. My friend, this chapter has been written over and over and over again in the passage of life. And here we find a boy, and his priority is simply me. Give me. You see, my friend, legally there was nothing outside his rights to ask. But he's making a demand. He's showing here that he has no respect whatsoever for his father. All he wanted was his freedom. He wanted his freedom. The second thing I believe he wanted was this, and that demand, he wanted his fun. You see, my friend, somebody must have told that boy away out there in the far country, you've got everything you want. Your freedom to do whatever you want and go where you want, and my, you'll have a wonderful time. And he's heard about others that have got their freedom, and my, it sounds wonderful. At least that's what he was told. Of course, the devil always paints it in a different light, doesn't he? He always gives the dazzling lights and laughter. You know, have you not heard it? Sure, you're only young once. And here was a lad, and he says, I want real life. This is not life. This is bondage here at home. I want really to live. I want a bit of fun. I want pleasure. But he got a problem. You see, friend, to have his freedom and to have his fun, he needed funds. He needed finance. And he hadn't got any. And so the boy looks into the face of his father and he demands for his father. He says, Father, you give me. I don't know whether you hear the words in this part of the country, the old saying, you can't whistle without the upper lip. Well, this boy can't whistle without the upper lip. He needs funds. And he looks at his father and he says, you know, he's the one that's got it. He got to the place of rebellion in his heart, friend. He didn't care. He didn't care how his demands affected the rest of the family. He didn't care about his loving father, how it hurt him. No, all he cared was about himself. It was all about me. All about me. There are many young people tonight, and let me tell you, friend, the devil will get you to that place where the whole story is just about you. What I want to do, where I want to go. And you don't like to be told you can't do it. You don't like the restriction. You say to yourself, if only I could get freedom. If only I could get away from home. I'd have the fun. But oh, I need the funds. You know, when I look at this young lad, he looks into the face of his father. It's a cruel demand he makes, and I'll tell you why. You know what that boy was saying to his father? He was actually saying, Father, I wish you were dead. You're living too long. You say, what do I mean? He wished his father dead. You're living too long for me. I can't wait until you die to get this money. I want it now. I want it now. And he made that cruel demand of his father, really saying, you know, Dad, I wish you were gone. Because then I'd have it. But he can't wait. He says, give me. He makes a demand of a loving father. It was not only a friend, a cruel demand, it was a cheeky demand. Because he demanded it in an almost legal fashion, as it were, his rights. This is my right. Well, it was true that under the law, you see, that whenever his day would come, that he was the younger of two boys. Now, the elder boy, he would get two portions, and the younger son, he would get one. He was going to get a third of all the father had, and the father's a wealthy man. And the boy looks into the face of his father, and he says, "Father, listen, I want you to give me my inheritance, and I want it now." It's amazing, we live in a society, everybody knows their rights. Not many people know their responsibilities. This lad didn't know his responsibility. He had a responsibility in his father's old age to be able to look after him, to see his father good in his latter days. But he wasn't caring about his father, all he cared about was him. He makes his demands. You know, the Bible tells us, if you look at that story, it says the father divided unto them his goods. Somebody say, why did the dad do this? Was he not soft? Well, if you've never stood in that place, friend, then you just thank God you're not. This father was brokenhearted. Here's a boy he loved. Here's a boy he brought up from his childhood days and gave him everything was possible. And now his father knows this boy is outgrowing father's care. And now father, he doesn't even care about father. All he cares was about me. See, the father knew that boy's heart was already away. His heart was already in the far country. Somebody said, well, listen, well, I would have just let him go on with nothing. No, friend, you read the Word of God. Sometimes, you know, God lets you get what you want for you to learn a lesson. This boy will never learn a lesson any other way. He's going to learn a sad one. But the father realizes there's no way keeping this boy because his heart's already there. And if he stays at home, all he will cause is trouble with his elder brother, and might there be nothing else, only fights in this home. And the father turns and the father gives him what he asked for. You say, what do you mean God does? Turn to the book of the Psalms, keep your hand there, Psalm 106. Psalm 106, speaking about the children of Israel, it says this in verse number 14. It says, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request. God gave them the request, but he sent leanness into their soul. There's a price to pay. But God gave them what they asked for. You see, friend, God can let you have what you ask for. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And you'll find that God, once again, it tells us there in Romans, chapter 1, verse number 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. Verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. You know, friend, you can make your demand of God, but listen, be careful what you ask. Because God can give you what you ask. God can give you. And here's a father. He still loves his son. It's still his boy. But the father gives him what he asks. I have no doubt whatsoever that father, as he handed over his goods to his son, his heart was breaking. The boy don't care. Not only do we see the demand here, we see his departure. Because the Bible then goes on to say, in verse number 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Here's his departure. After that, this lad got his, was sure that legally everything was in his hand. Now, he didn't move until he got it. He was able to gather it all. It was going to be in his hands. He wasn't going to trust Father to send it on. No, he wanted to gather. It says, and he, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He didn't stay long when he got to all that the Father had to give. You see, he hadn't the means to hit the road on his own. But now his pocket's full. And his full steam ahead. And all he can think about is the day that he's going to get his freedom. And you know where I'm going? I'm going into the far country. You know what that means? I'm getting away from a father as far as I can. He'll not see what I'm doing. He'll not know where I'm going. He'll not hear about the company that I'm amongst. No. I'm going into the far country, as far away from him as possible. And God knows, even in many a good and godly home, there's many a boy that when rebellion got into his heart, that's exactly what he wanted, to get as far away. Get as far away as from the gospel meetings. Get as far away from church. Get as far away from godly influence. Get away from the gospel preaching and the godly influence even of a father and mother. Remember a preacher's son. He rebelled against his father. The father did everything he could to win him for Jesus Christ. But the boy, there were times he even cursed his father, knowing that it hurt his father because he had gone into sin. One day the father was speaking to him. He asked him to come to the meeting. It was a Sunday evening. He asked his boy to come to the meeting, and the boy was so rebellious, he once again turned on his dad, and then he got into his car, and boy, he revved the car up. The stones were just spinning off the wheel. Flew out through the gate as quick as he could. Later on that night, a knock came to the preacher's door. When he opened the door, a big peeler was standing outside the door. He said, "Are you Reverend So?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Have you a boy who's got a car?" And he gave the number. "Yes," he said. "Sorry to tell you, your son's had an accident." That father's heart sunk. And he said, "How bad is he?" He says, "I'm sorry to tell you, sir, he's dead." When they brought that boy home, the father stood at the side of his coffin. He looked into his face and he said, "Son, no more gospel appeals. Dad can never warn you anymore. But it's all over." He broke a father's heart. There's many a boy breaking a father and mother's heart tonight because of the rebellion. Because they're living in sin. Because they're going on without Jesus Christ. But friend, this boy don't care. He just doesn't care. It says he gathered all together. He made his journey into a far country. I see that boy that day. And I tell you, Dad told him everything he possibly could to warn his son about the far country and about wasting his life and all the rest. But he didn't want to know. He says, "Dad, I'll see you." And he just walked out from his father's presence. Friend, his father was standing in tears, and he walked on whistling. He's a big man now because I'm getting to the far country. I'm living for me. My lifestyle's my own. And he departed. But friend, notice his desires. Because it says here in verse number 13, not only did he go to the far country, but there he wasted his substance with riotous living. That's what he was wanting to get to. He wanted to live it up. My, he was living in sin. Riotous living means a life totally given over to sinfulness and evil. That's what he lived for. Friend, that was the life he wanted. No restrictions now. He can booze all night. He can keep company with harlots, but nobody's going to tell him. He's away in the far country. Dad's not watching anymore. I can run all night and lie all day. Sure, it's me. The lifestyle he pined after. You see, friend, it says here he lived with riotous living. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He left behind all restrictions and every whim and every desire that he had in his heart. He was satisfied. Let's be quite honest. There's many a father and mother didn't know how far their children went in the far country. How far down they were. And here's a boy, and he's living it up. This is the fun. I'm living in pleasures. Let no one say there's no pleasure in sin. There is. There's pleasure in sin. But God says in his word, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. You'll soon come to poverty. You see, friend, you can't keep spending and spending and wasting your substance without coming to the end. The well will dry up. And the Word of God tells us that pleasures of sin are only for a season. You see, the spring leaves, friend. Springtime and the leaves blossom. But remember this. There comes a time they'll fade. And the leaves will fall. They don't stay forever. And this boy's in riotous living. And the Bible says he wasted. He wasted his substance. In other words, the word wasted means to scatter abroad or to squander. And he scattered his father's hard worked earnings on his pursuits. What way? We're told in the Bible, his brother said, listen, he wasted it with harlots. His life was wine and woman and song. And the Word of God says, wasted it. Is there someone in this meeting tonight, friend? Listen, and that's how you're living. You have a life that God has given you, God has blessed you with, and yet you're wasting the life that God has given, young lad. You're wasting the life that God has given, the breath that God has put in your lungs. You're wasting it. Wasted years. I remember an old lady that one time I was ill. She came to see me, a member of the congregation, an elderly lady. She started coming to the meetings. God has started to save in her family, had led a number of her family circle to the Lord. She wasn't saved. And then one night she came to see me when I was ill. And as she sat there beside my bed, there was a reason why that she was there. It wasn't really to see me. It was God was speaking to her heart. And as she sat there, she just fell on her knees to the side of the bed and she cried. And she said, Mr. McRae, would you lead me to Christ? I need to get saved. I had the joy of pointing her to Jesus Christ in my sick bed. She sat up on the seat beside where she had been sitting before, and then she started to weep with a broken heart. I thought the devil was giving her a hard time of whether she was saved or whether she wasn't. I said, what's wrong? Tell me. I said, Miss McRae, my husband died and he wasn't saved.
And I didn't know I needed Jesus as my Savior. And he died, and he's in eternity. Oh, how I wish I'd been saved to tell him before he died. She said, one of my daughters took ill. I'd never met this daughter, but she took ill. She had an awful pain. She was taken to hospital. And there in the hospital, she died with a tumor in the brain. She said, I didn't know. I didn't know to tell her she needed Jesus. I didn't know she needed to be saved. She said, you ask me why I'm crying. Wasted years. Wasted years. If only I'd known. Men and women, don't live your life without the Lord. You're living wasted years. Ah, the devil may call it fun. The devil may paint it with dazzling colors. The devil may try and say, it's all right. Sure, you're only young once. But just remember this, friend. You have only one life. And will soon be passed. And it's only what's done with Christ that's going to last. Everything else will fade into insignificance. And here's a boy, and that's how he spent all the Father gave him. I have no doubt the Father warned his boy. He spent his life with harlots. Keep your hand there. Turn to the book of Proverbs with me a moment, please. The book of Proverbs is a father pleading with a son. He's given advice to a son. And in Proverbs chapter 5, it says this, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is sweeter than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. Son, listen to my son. She'll take you to hell. Friend, that's where your sin will take you. That's where your sin will take you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 7. And once again, a father is speaking to his son. He said this, verse 24, hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's where sin will take you, friend. The sin that you love. The sin that you won't let go of. The sin that you're holding close to your bosom. The sin that you're embracing tonight. See, I love that preacher. Why are you not saved? Because you love your sin. And all the time, you see that sin, it's taking you deeper and deeper. I have no doubt that father warned his boy out there in the far country, son. There's danger. But I hear the boy laughing as his father said, Dad, come on. You're only young once. It's a bit of fun. But notice again. Notice his demise. Go to verse 14.
Yes, he wasted his substance with riotous living, but when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and it began to be in want. You see, friend, he's still to learn the lesson. Sin's a hard taskmaster, the consequences of sin. The Bible says he began to be in want. That means he started to get behind. He fell behind in payments. And really his pocket's empty because he has spent all. And at that time, the Bible says a famine came. When did the famine come? When he had spent all. Where did the famine come? In the far country. In the land that promised him fun. The land that promised him everything. My, when the boy was being told about the far country, they didn't say there was going to be a famine. Not at all. There's going to be no famine. It can't come to me. And anyhow, if there's a famine, my pocket's full. But friend, now his pocket's empty. There was a mighty famine. But let me ask you this. Where's the harlots now? Where's the so-called friends now? Did you read it? It says there that he began to be in want. Go to the end of verse 16. No man gave unto him. You see, when your pockets are full, you'll have plenty of friends. They'll be around you like clegs. But you see, when you've nothing to give, they turn their back. Because they'll go and act as leeches on others. Other suckers just like you. And there'll always be a sucker there. And now there'll always be somebody else that they can hold on to. This boy had nobody. And he sat there in the midst of nothing. No funds. No food. No friends. Nothing. But the devil didn't tell him. That's where his sin would take him. No. Never told him that story, friend. The cost of his sin. You say, surely the boy has learned his lesson. Not yet. Look at it. It says in verse 15, he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. They're not going to break me. He's still rebellious. Even though he's down there in the gutter, even though he's down there in the depths, his heart is still rebellious. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to go back home. No. And he joined himself. And the word joined is he glued himself. To be cemented or glued. That shows you the grip that sin has on a man. I'll tell you, the devil's grip on you, sinner, is tight. And he's going to tighten it further. And it says he joined himself to a citizen of the Car country and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Let me tell you, friend, he became a lonely bond man. Actually, the lowest of the servants, a slave. And even there's no mercy on the master in the far country. Because notice, he was so hungry
that no man, not even his master, give unto him. Money gone, friends gone, nobody to pity, nobody to have mercy on. And he was sitting down at the swine trough. And the Bible says he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine had eaten, because no man gave unto him. And then verse 17, quickly, his deliberation. And when he came to himself, tell me this. How far will your sin have to take you, friend, before you realize it's making a fool of you? How far? How far will you go? This lad, he's not willing to break. This lad's not willing to give up. Let me show you one wee verse. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3, it says this. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they are not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to turn. And that boy, that's where sin took him, friend. Until one day at the depths in the gutter, he came to himself. The fog was lifted from his mind. Starts to think straight and realize, what a fool. What a fool I've been. Do you remember what Saul said? I have played the fool. Somebody shouted one day when we were standing at a gospel open air, they shouted, you're only fools. My friend shouted, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? And he came to himself and really thought about, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You see, when his pockets were full, friend, he never thought of his father. Whenever his friends were around him, he never thought of his father. When his belly was full, he never thought of his father. It wasn't until he came to nothing and he thought of home and he thought of his father's house. And as he sat there, he said this, verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now mark the next words. Make me. Do you remember the last time he was with his father? What was his words? Give me. Now he says, Father, make me as one of thy hired servants. He was willing to acknowledge, I'd gladly be your servant, Father, because your hired servants have bread and enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Very quickly as we close tonight, if he'd have said that to himself and just sat there, it'd be no use. The Bible says, if you go on down the story, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. Thank God he got up. He got up and came to his father. And he made his way home
I'm sure that boy, as he goes home, the thoughts come into his head, what will Father say? Will my father get angry? Let me tell you, friend. See, when the boy said to his son, give me, it doesn't tell us the father lost his temper. Doesn't tell us the father grew angry. Doesn't tell us the father threw him out. Didn't. Says the father gave him. But will the father get angry now? Will the father say, you've disgraced me? Look at you! Smell you, look at you! You're a disgrace to my name and to this house. I don't want you. No, the Bible says, he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And his father had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Notice how the Savior puts it. When he was yet a great way off. How did the Father see him, friend? I'll tell you why. Because the Father was looking for him. I've often thought about that picture. I've often thought in my mind's eye, Father would climb the stairs at night and walk into the boy's room where he was raised and where he used to lie, and Father's heart would break knowing his son was out there somewhere. Where is my wandering boy tonight? What's he doing? What company's in? Is he all right? And the father would pull the curtains back and look down the dusty pathway and lift his heart to God and say, God, bring my son home. Bring my boy home. Bring him home safe. In the morning times, you'd stand at the doorway and look down the dusty pathway again. You know what he's looking? He's looking for a boy. Oh God, send him home. And then he sees him. It doesn't say the son ran to his father. It says the father ran to his son. That's the father's heart of love for his child. And the father ran. Ah, yes, the passing of the years have taken their toll. This father's heart has been weary. Its heart has been broken. But he runs. And he runs to his son, and the Bible says he fell on his neck and kissed him. See that word, kissed him? It means he kissed him again and again and again and again. He threw his arms around him. And what did he say? The boy said, Father, I sinned against heaven in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He intended to say, make me as one of thy hired servants. He never could say it. No, friend. He wasn't come home to be a servant. He was a son. And the father said, bring hither the best robe and put it on and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet and bring forth the fatted calf and kill it that we may be eaten, Mary. For this, my son. You're my son. There's the heart of love of a father for a wayward child. Friend, God made you. God made you. He gave you breath. You were formed in your mother's belly in the day you were brought forth, and your mother looked upon your face
and your father, and they loved you. But let me tell you, nothing like the way God loved you. And God gave his darling son one day and sent him to the cross of Calvary. And there he shed his precious blood. What for? For sinners like you and me. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved through his precious blood. Sinner, maybe you feel that nobody understands what you're going through. Nobody sees your broken heart. Nobody understands what sin has done to you. Let me tell you, God sees it all. And God so loved you that he gave his darling son to die in your guilty room instead, to save you, to deliver you from the grip of sin and from hell itself. But here's my question. Will you come to him? I will arise and I will go to my father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned. Will you come to God tonight and confess that? Father, I've sinned. It's my sin problem. My sin. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be saved. And there's not one of us that are worthy to be saved. But friend, he doesn't save us because we're worthy. He loves us because he loves us. He set his love upon us. And God sent his son to die for guilty, hell-deserving sinners just like me. And I was saying to Father Gray tonight, over in the wee hall, 62 years ago, next Tuesday, I knelt before the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I want you to save me. And praise God, he heard my cry. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord tonight, listen, shall be saved. He loves you. Don't let sin take you to the depths, friend. But run to God for forgiveness, for pardon. And thank God he'll save you. Let's pray. I have one.